Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. Using Harvard Project Zero's artful thinking routines and the gallery's collection, Julie Carmine and Sarah Lesk transformed research into practice by creating the gallery's first massive open online course, or MOOC. The MOOC provides pre-service, K-12, and museum educators with a free opportunity to bring critical thinking through art to students around the world. In this conversation, held on January 27, 2019, as part of the Works in Progress lecture series, Julie and Sarah present an overview of the history of the project, a glimpse inside the course, and current data from online learners, and discuss the project's future.
Well, I want to start by thanking Sarah and Allie for inviting us to make this presentation, and thank you all for coming. And a special shout out to so many of you who helped us for years to make this online course possible. So you know who I'm talking to. Thank you all. So today, Julie and I have a lot to share. I'm going to give you just sort of backstory of how we came to make the MOOC, and I'll talk about the course goals and the participant goals. And then Julie will come up and take you inside the course. She'll give you a mini tour of the course design, showing you the interactive tools, discussion forums, and some participants' final projects. And then she'll share just a portion, a very small portion of the data we've mined, and she'll talk about next steps, which will be us building a second MOOC. So Julie and I introduced Artful Thinking Routines into Art Around the Corner, the gallery's multiple visit program for DCPS Title I schools, way back in 2007. We were really excited about the rigor of artful thinking, which is a research-based critical thinking pedagogy created by researchers at Project Zero, an institute within Harvard's Graduate School of Education. We realized that the thinking routines would fit naturally into our program, in which upper elementary students come to the gallery 12 times over 2 years. We realized that we could truly make the routines routine in our program. So we introduced them, and we trained our gallery teachers in them, and over time, we noticed the high quality of the students' responses to works of art when they used artful thinking. And we were so excited by what we saw that we decided to commission an outside evaluation firm, Randy Korn and Associates, to come in and do an evaluation of our students so we could really see what was happening in the program. So the study's results were really exciting. They showed that the students were displaying strong levels of critical thinking, observing and describing, reasoning with evidence, and questioning and investigating. We, of course, were thrilled to find this, and the evaluators gave us several suggestions, one of which was to grow the program, and we've grown it tremendously, and my staff is here, and I'll just give you guys a shout out for all the growth we've had. Their other big recommendation, though, was that we create on-site professional development for our teachers, so that if we could teach our teachers to teach with works of art in the classroom using the routines, just think of the impact they could have teaching it many, many, many times a year. Even though we were teaching it several times a year, we could really increase our impact if we could teach the classroom teachers this method. So we created the course, we called it Creating Artful Thinkers, and it was a really big success. The teachers really drank the Kool-Aid, and they told us again and again how artful thinking was enriching their classrooms, engaging the students. They were hearing students speak who weren't speaking, and thinking critically about all kinds of topics. So after that, we held a focus group with our teachers, and one of the biggest things they wanted was us to start making videos so that they could watch our method and our modeling back at school, and so they could share the method with their fellow teachers. So this led Julie and I to contemplate how we might use video and innovations in online learning to deepen our impact, not only here in the DC area, but across the country and the world. So we continued our research. We started attending lots of museum ed conferences and ed tech conferences, and we interviewed museum professionals, mostly in New York City, who had created online courses. And we took all this research and all this advice, and we ultimately decided to create a massive open online course, or a MOOC. We had found studies at the time that showed that 39% of all MOOC participants were educators. And we really liked that MOOCs are free and accessible, an economically viable way to engage thousands of people in deep content beyond the boundaries of space and time. So at this point, we created a prototype lesson video. We beta tested with teachers, and we iterated from that. And then finally, we wrote a detailed proposal for the EDTC, which is the Executive Digital Technology Committee. And we also worked with development to raise the funds for the course. The next big decision was which platform to use. And after more research and discussion, we were able to create an agreement with Smithsonian Enterprises to join their suite of courses on the edX platform. Then finally, it was time to create the course. We put together the outline, selected the thinking routines, the works of art, the topics, and the activities. We partnered with schools, teachers, and countless departments here at the gallery. We engaged Smithsonian Enterprise film crew to shoot lesson videos. We engaged our own media production team to shoot interview videos and record audio stories. And we engaged Howe Studio Inc. in New York for course design, post-production, and course build. So we had our birthday last week, our first birthday. We launched a year ago, and we are thrilled that we have something like 9,200 participants around the world and in 146 countries and regions. And Julie will tell you more about that in a few minutes. So just going to share quickly our goals. For the course, the Education Division will introduce K-12 teachers and museum educators to artful thinking routines and dispositions using our collection, our wonderful colleagues, and educational resources. We wanted to share best practices for using artful thinking routines in classrooms and in museums. We wanted to create and support a global online community of teachers who integrate art into curriculum with artful thinking routines. And finally, we wanted to expand the NGA role as a leading global source of support for integrating art into the curriculum. For our participants, we wanted them to understand that when students engage with works of art in person and through reproductions in the classroom, opportunities for deep thinking and discourse occur. We wanted them to feel inspired, prepared, and we wanted them also to demonstrate using works of art and artful thinking in their teaching environments. And we wanted them to start using our website and know about the NGA and use all of our wonderful educational resources as they integrated art into their classrooms. So the teaser video really says so much. So let's take a look.
All over the world, in schools, in the job market, in every discipline and field, critical thinking is essential. Here at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., we help teachers of all levels and subjects use art as a force to develop their students' thinking. Inspired by the artful thinking research and routines from Project Zero at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, we're providing this professional development program online to you. You'll learn how to use thinking routines, short, easy-to-learn techniques to facilitate meaningful conversations and a culture of thinking.
The students who were quiet, that wouldn't raise his or her hand, they were doing that. The conversations were much deeper and more purposeful and more thoughtful. I knew that I would be a highly effective and highly qualified teacher if I just continued to use the artful thinking routines.
regular practice of artful thinking techniques leads directly to independent learning behaviors, such as observing and describing.
So let's share some of the nouns that you noticed.
In the crowd of like all the people, there's in all these dull clothing, there's this one lady with a bright red dress.
Evidence-based reasoning.
What do you think is going on in this painting?
Both my partners, Omar and Chris, said there's like something strange going on because you can see in the path that there's some footsteps and they just randomly stop and the dog is like barking at it.
And generating meaningful questions that lead to new understandings.
If you could ask the artist one question, what would you ask him?
What is the painting exactly supposed to be of?
I like building off of that person's perspective. I just make it into a bigger idea.
When you use artful thinking, it's not just teacher-student parroting back and forth. We're a learning community.
To participate in this 5-week course, you'll need only a few hours per week to interact with specially designed features in the edX course platform, including a Zoom tool to examine works of art closely.
I'm Julie Carmine, your lead instructor. Enrolling is free and now open. So let's get started. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to guide you through some of the course today. And before we get started with that, though, we'd like to pose a question to you. The pedagogy that we use in our Art Around the Corner program and in many of our programs in the Education Division is experiential and interactive. So we thought even in this lecture format, we can't go through a whole lecture without having a little interactivity. So the question is, what is strong thinking? If you could just consider that for a moment. Maybe think of a word or a couple of words that come to mind, a synonym for strong thinking. So what are a few words that come to mind? Maybe just popcorn out a few. Multiple perspectives. Any others? Analysis. Do you recognize any of your words here? This is what our online participants had to say. They were given 3 blanks to fill in, and it automatically generates into this word cloud. So it's very important to us to make the course interactive. And as many courses, as many MOOCs present information in sort of a top-down approach, and that's what the format almost requires. We had a puzzle to try to figure out, how do we make this course experiential, interactive, and how do we give people opportunities to explore the ideas before we communicate those ideas to people. So I'd like us to take a look at one section, and that is the unit of observing and describing. It's very important to us to design the course to be accessible and inclusive to a diverse group, a diverse audience of online learners. And as I mentioned, the pedagogies we use are inclusive and they're experiential, they're user-centered. We emphasize the voice of the learner really before the educator, and we look and learn together. So we used Triple IF technology that the National Gallery has actually been a forerunner in using this with our digital imaging on our own website. We were able to incorporate this into the course, and this is the first arts-based online course that uses Triple IF technology. Sarah and I are not technologists ourselves, but we've certainly learned a lot in this process, and huge thanks to our digital imaging department. So you can see that you can zoom into the course, and it's very important for us to scaffold slow looking. That's what we do on site. And we wanted to emphasize this value in the online course. So we actually recorded a guided look that's set to some music. And I'll just play a very short clip of that for you. This paces the user.
Look closely at this high-resolution digital image of this painting. Let your eyes scan the whole surface of the canvas. You might look carefully at the foreground, what looks closest to you toward the bottom of the painting. Next, look at the busy middle ground. And then look at the background, off into the distance. What do you see?
So you can see someone who might be new to looking at a work of art has specific instructions there to know how to slow down and take a nice long look. And then one of the key, as you saw in the goals, one of the main goals of our course is to teach people how to use these thinking routines that we use in our programs at the gallery. So we wanted the users to be able to do a thinking routine before watching a video of a teacher doing that thinking routine with students. We were able to use some third-party tools. This one is a Padlet tool, and it leads participants through this looking nouns, adjectives, verbs thinking routine that they're about to watch in a video. So they can respond to the George Bellows New York painting that they've just seen in the IIIF viewer and add their comments. So then we go into the next page. We are taking you rather quickly through it, but we just want to give you a sense of one arc of one section of the course. So then a participant would watch the video featuring the looking nouns, adjectives, verbs routine, and the routines differ from section to section. We have various groups of students, actual students, some from our Art Around the Corner program, some from different high school, middle school groups that we've worked with here at the gallery. And we have museum educators and classroom teachers who model these routines with works of art in the National Gallery's collection, either in the museum or in the classroom. So this one happens in the museum. I encourage you to take a look at the video. They're also not only featured in the course, but they are featured on our National Gallery YouTube channel and on the National Gallery's website as well. All of the videos have closed captioning in simplified Chinese, French, and Spanish to make them even more accessible. Then after a teacher or after an online user has watched the video, if they want to implement what they just saw immediately into their classroom, we wanted to make that possible and as easy for them. We have here instructions for using that thinking routine, a template for students to immediately apply this in the classroom, and also the lesson plan. We have Liz's lesson plan here, and every teacher featured wrote up a lesson plan, and we feature those, as well as an image set that includes the image here of New York by George Bellows and every image featured in the course. And a link also to more information. Here we're linking to our Uncovering America resource. On the next page, we pull out specific takeaways that we'd want the user to be sure to understand after watching the video. So this is our What Just Happened page, followed then by a discussion where people can talk about. This prompt is share one aha moment or new discovery. So you can see a few examples here. This person said, I love the idea of creating a poem or a story since it makes students think. And Liz, very artfully, after doing the looking nouns, adjectives, verbs routine, leads the students in putting those words, those observations together into a word pile poem. A lot of teachers really resonated with that. Responding to art with art, I found it incredibly valuable that the instructor used poetry as a means to interpret a piece of artwork. The students are not only learning skills from observing the painting with slow looking, but they're also learning how they can interact with art in the real world. They are able to leave a museum or a cultural experience with a new tool of response. And then you can see how many people were also struck by this idea and respond in this communal, online communal environment. And then last in sort of the arc of one section is what's the story behind the art? So the teacher who was featured in the video, and then in some cases some other educators in our department, recorded these simple art stories that are accessible for students of all ages. There's an audio version.
You are looking at a high-resolution digital reproduction of a painting made by the American artist George Bellows in 1911, titled New York. How did George Bellows become an artist?
So you kind of can get the idea of two different art stories built around questions that students might ask. How did George Bellows become an artist? How did Bellows choose to show the city of New York? And then they can all online users can also download a transcript. Again, we want to make this as easy and accessible as possible. The transcripts are also included in the languages of French, Spanish, and simplified Chinese that we were able to have translated. And then other resources. Again, this links to a variety of resources that are on the National Gallery's website, leading people to interact with the work that has already been produced around this work of art. So that's a little bit of a snapshot into the course. All that's needed to register is your email address and making up a password. It's completely free, as the teaser video shared. If an educator would want to sign up for a certificate, they can pay $25, and that's kind of as low of a cost as we could do with our edX platform agreement. And then there are special quizzes throughout the course that and reading assignments that check for completion, and a teacher gets a certificate at the end of the course. So you saw a snapshot of Bellows. This just gives you picture of all of the different works of art in the National Gallery's collection that we were able to feature in the MOOC, and then the themes under which we were able to feature them. At the end of every unit, there is a Make It Your Own section in which participants are able to do the lessons they've just seen in their classroom and do some sort of documentation and then upload that documentation. So that might be a template showing student work. It might be a picture of a bulletin board of student work, and then they reflect on the process. And at the very end of the course, there's a final project. So we wanted to show you one example of a final project. We're absolutely amazed at the amount of participation that online users are putting into this work and sharing their incredible work. All right, so this is an example. We provided a PowerPoint format for people to put their final project directly into. Here, one teacher applies the See, Think, Wonder routine. And the teacher uses The Tropical Forest with Monkeys by Henri Rousseau and documents the thinking, shows the I see, I think comments, and I wonder, and this format is exactly modeled from a video with a work by Kandinsky with a group of first graders in a school. The teacher in the video documents exactly this way, and so we can see the teacher gleaned some ideas and did a similar approach. And then a reflection, what surprised you and what challenged you? She was surprised that her students were so eager to share their thinking and their wondering. And she was also challenged by how impatient they felt to share their ideas and how she could help students to take turns in speaking. So this is a very real classroom challenge. There were so many wonderful examples that I would love to show you if we had more time. However, one participant in his final project wrote, "Having taught middle and high school art for the past 21 years, what surprised me most was the fact that everyone participated. In the past, I would have always only had a few students pose a question, and then maybe one or two follow up with a comment. Using this method, everyone participated in questioning, and mostly everyone had a comment, or even two, following the wondering exercise. The students, and in parentheses, and I, gained insights about the power of really looking at a work of art before judging it." For us, that was a really powerful and moving comment. Over the last year since launching the course, we've been collecting a lot of data. And the edX platform has a specific site called Insights that feeds us data regularly. And from that data, we know our total enrollment, which is, like Sarah said earlier, over 9,000 people now. We have a verified enrollment of about 1,100 people. And verified just means while the course is free, there is an option to pay $25 and to edX and then receive a certificate signed by several of us at the gallery that says a person actually completed the full course. And with that option, there are additional readings and then quizzes about those readings to help verify that someone has actually moved through the entire content. Now, normally in edX, the certified learners are about 3 to 5%. For our course, we have about 12% rate of doing this certificate route. So that shows us that teachers are very interested in receiving this kind of validation of and certification of their work. We've heard many of them go to their local district or state or in other countries to their leadership and education to get specific credit for taking these courses, this course in particular. We have about 146 countries represented. We're very excited about just the wide reach. The United States is at 38%. We have an unknown group that doesn't claim their country for various reasons, privacy or whatever. And then 5 to 3% of our users are from India, Canada, the UK, and Australia. And then 2 to 1.5% from Brazil, Spain, Italy, and Mexico. And then the lower side of that 1% of our over 9,000 people are from Germany, Canada, Indonesia, Turkey, Russia, Greece, France, Romania, and Japan. And then we go on to the less than 1% for the other, 120 of the countries. We're averaging about 70 to 100 new enrollees per week. And our active learners in the course, as it is a self-paced, self-guided course, people dip in and dip out as they would like. We have approximately 5% of the enrollment from week to week that are engaged in watching the videos and interacting in the discussions. We also built into the course through a Google survey, pre and post surveys that are optional for people. From those findings, we've been able to understand that while the course serves diverse professions, primarily we are serving our target audience of educators. You can see here the breakdown, 47% classroom teachers, 14% museum staff and volunteers, 8% professors and researchers, 5% paraeducators, and 4% pre-service educators. And then many participants were unfamiliar with course content and with the National Gallery of Art at all. We're especially excited to be reaching people who are unfamiliar with the gallery and with our content. So about 46% of people have not ever used a thinking routine before the course. 37% have never used art in their curriculum. 61% have never visited the gallery. And about 77% had never used the gallery's online or printed materials in their classrooms or otherwise. So we're reaching an audience that we're probably not reaching through simply the website just by going outside of our own network, going onto a platform like edX, in which teachers who aren't necessarily keyed into art might come across our course, find it interesting, and develop a relationship with the National Gallery. So we're very excited about that. Overall, the course experience has had very high ratings. Most people have rated it as excellent or superior. And you can see here we've listed the suggested benchmark, which is about a 20% superior rating. And you can see with most of our audiences, our online learners, we far exceed that, with classroom teachers ranking the course. 49% are saying for them it has a superior rank for their experience. We're also excited by a statistic that shows that over 70% of people taking the course are watching the videos from beginning to end, which is really unheard of. We took some risk in making longer videos, like 10 to 12 minutes for our lesson videos. When people said, keep it 3 to 5 minutes, we thought, you know, educators, for the story that we're trying to tell in these videos, we think we need a little longer. And sure enough, we have a very high beginning to end watch rate. So we're really thrilled with that. This is just a sample of data within the course. There's really a lot more data we could share with you, but for the sake of time, this is just a little sample. So here are some comments that came out of the post-course survey. I read you one that came from a final project, but from the survey looking at the MOOC as a whole, one person said, I was so inspired and the MOOC refreshed my passion for using art to develop critical and creative thinking. It has refreshed how I can use art and digital tools collaboratively to develop and extend thinking. Someone else said, I really appreciated the structure of this course into short multimedia snippets. I was never bored, and it also helped me learn the content in various ways. Reading, listening, watching, and thank you for including the art story and related videos on the art objects themselves. And then someone from Greece said, I think it was a brilliant, motivating academic online course, very insightful and really helpful for me to participate from Greece and for free. And then critical thinking is a new dimension that will help education in African society improve. The students feel tolerated, accepted, and given a sense of confidence and worth during learning. So we are just incredibly moved by these comments and just thrilled that the course, and there are many other comments as well, is really finding an audience and seems to be filling a need that hasn't been filled before, thinking about critical thinking through art. So in closing, what's next for us? We wanted to share that we are really focused right now on continuing to build and foster our community of online learners. We're so excited about building this community of over 9,000 people. Some people have dipped in months ago and aren't active now. Some are active now. So we're really thinking about how do we keep this group of people engaged with the National Gallery of Art and engaged in learning together. And so we've been talking with our web department, with communications, with others in education, thinking about what we can do to continue to engage this group that has had some touch point to this standalone online course. We're also looking at examining the critical thinking that online learners are demonstrating within course discussions. So this is a whole field in and of itself that's sort of a new field, but one that is emerging and new research is coming out. So we think we might have something to contribute to that, and we want to dig in further. Also, we are just beginning to work on our production plan for a sequel MOOC about three more thinking dispositions. So as we've mentioned before, this current MOOC that's happening addresses three of the thinking dispositions that researchers at Harvard Project Zero found happen when people engage with works of art, right? So the observing and describing, reasoning with evidence, and questioning and investigating. Well, there are three more. So we want to focus also on exploring multiple perspectives, comparing and connecting, and finding complexity. And we have some ideas around those dispositions. And then finally, we're hoping to begin engaging in some strategic planning about the role of MOOCs at the National Gallery of Art beyond our Teaching Critical Thinking Through Art courses. So we are looking forward to having more conversations with our colleagues, with our leadership, and thinking together about if and what more MOOCs might be. So I want to thank you very much for coming and listening to our presentation. For the rest of our time together, we're going to open the time for questions from you.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.